We turn in God's Word, the Gospel according to John. We're reading together in John chapter 20, reading from the first verse. Chapter 19, the record of the crucifixion and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 20 at verse 1, we read, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. It's very common to hear the gospel record about the resurrection of Jesus, to hear it dismissed as fiction, as a fabrication, something that has been made up by the first Christians, that it's not to be treated at all as history. When we read about the empty tomb, many people would say, well, we can't believe that nowadays. Did the disciples make up this story about the tomb being empty that morning? Did they just want to show their devotion to their dead leader? And so they made up a story about him being risen and alive. Was it that they just couldn't cope with losing Jesus? Some would write off the whole idea of resurrection. Indeed, one bishop once upon a time referred to the resurrection as just a conjuring trick with old bones. And so often you will find people saying, well, the resurrection didn't happen. And if it did happen, it doesn't really matter. Why should we be so concerned about whether the tomb was empty or not? And we do hear sometimes in the TV, we read stories about what they think is the burial place of Jesus being found and bones still there. What are we to make of these things? The first thing we can say is that the empty tomb can't be explained in any other way than the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Ideas that are suggested that perhaps the disciples stole the body, completely incredible. The idea that the Jewish authorities took the body away, again, nobody can believe that. They could have produced the body and destroyed the Christian faith immediately. The only credible explanation is that the tomb really was empty that morning. And it was empty because Jesus had risen from the dead. But then the question we have to ask is this. Why does it matter? Why should we be concerned whether the tomb really was empty or not? Is it really important? Well, the first disciples certainly believed it was absolutely vital that the tomb was empty. When you read about them preaching the gospel in the book of Acts, every time they preached about the death of Jesus, they also preached about his resurrection. It was an essential part of the gospel. They understood that if Jesus has not risen from the dead, there is no gospel, and there is no point having a Christian church at all. There is nothing to offer the world. They understood that the empty tomb is of vital importance. It's a key part of our Christian faith. If the body of Jesus is in the tomb somewhere in Israel, there is no Christian faith. And we're all deceiving ourselves. And we ought to be pitied. The disciples proclaimed the empty tomb, and they believed it's essential to the gospel. And so we want to think today about the significance of the empty tomb. What does it tell us? Why is it so important? The significance of the empty tomb. We read one of the records there in John 20, and in each of the Gospels, we have testimony to the fact that Jesus was risen, the body was gone, and he had triumphed. So why is the empty tomb so important for our Christian faith? The first reason is that it confirms Jesus' identity. It confirms Jesus' identity. You see, Jesus made great claims about who he is, the Son of God, the Saviour. Great claims about what he came into the world to do. But of course, people make all kinds of claims about themselves that aren't true. How can we be sure that the claims Jesus made are true? That's not just some great fantasy that he had made up to deceive people. How do we know that Jesus was who he said he was? The resurrection plays a fundamental part in confirming that Jesus indeed is who he claimed to be. In Romans 1 and verse 4, it's a verse we looked at a couple of weeks ago as we're studying Romans in our morning services. There we're told that through the Spirit of Holiness, Jesus was appointed to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. There we are told that when Jesus rose from the dead, his Father vindicated his Son. The Father expressed his approval of his Son by raising him from the dead. After the humiliation of his suffering and his death on the cross, then came his exaltation. He did not become the Son of God at his resurrection. He always was the Son of God. But now, as God and man, as the Redeemer, he enters into his glory at the resurrection. There is the Father's testimony that this is his Son, And he approves of what Jesus has done. The resurrection declares that this indeed is the Son of God who has triumphed, dead and now alive again. The Father, as it were, puts his stamp of approval on his Son. And we know that at his resurrection. A Jesus who is still in a tomb somewhere in Israel is no use to us as a Saviour. The stories about him might be very interesting. We might get some nice moral lessons from the Gospels. But if the body of Jesus is still in the tomb, he's no Saviour. And he's no use to any of us. And we're really wasting our time sitting here today. A dead Jesus is useless. He's no Saviour. But we're told clearly, he is a risen Saviour. He has now entered into glory at the Father's right hand. The Father really was saying at the resurrection, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We can be sure that Jesus truly is who he claimed to be. And that message is brought home again and again in the New Testament. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, he says it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. It was impossible. It simply is unthinkable that the Son of God could be kept prisoner by death. Of course it couldn't hold him prisoner. Jesus would certainly rise. And as Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, he emphasizes the importance of Jesus' resurrection. He saw it had been prophesied in Psalm 16, we'll be singing it later, that all those centuries before, David the psalmist was able to speak about the resurrection of Jesus. And now Peter says, that has been fulfilled. What the prophets looked forward to, what the Psalms looked forward to, now has been fulfilled in the resurrection. The tomb was empty, as we read there in John chapter 20. Peter himself had seen that the tomb was empty. He'd gone, he'd looked in. The grave clothes were there, but the body was gone. And Peter had seen for himself that Jesus was risen from the dead. And so the resurrection confirms Jesus' identity. We need not be in any doubt. Was he really who he said he was? Did he perhaps try to deceive people to impress them? Or was he perhaps mistaken? Was there something wrong with his mind that he thought he was the Son of God? And those are ideas that you'll hear. But the New Testament shows us clearly. And the resurrection proves it. Jesus was not mistaken. And Jesus was not a deceiver. He is truly who he claimed to be. He is the Son of God, who's taken a human body and soul, and who died and rose for the salvation of sinners like us. We don't need to be in any doubt about these things. They're not uncertain. We're not left wondering. The tomb was empty that morning, and we know that Jesus truly is who he claimed to be. So the empty tomb is vital for our Christian faith, first of all, because it confirms Jesus' identity. We know he is who he claimed to be. But not only that, the second reason that the empty tomb is so important for our Christian faith is that it confirms Jesus' victory. It confirms Jesus' victory. First, it confirms his identity. Now we see it confirms his victory. Not only, you see, does the resurrection prove to us who Jesus is, it also proves to us what he has done. It's evidence not only for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's also evidence for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection shows that he was who he claimed to be. And the resurrection also shows us that he did what he claimed he would do. Again, we don't need to be in any doubt. Has Jesus accomplished the mission that his Father sent him to perform here on earth? Because you see in the Gospels, Jesus had a very powerful sense of coming into the world with a job to do. He came as a man with a mission. But of course, many people have had a sense of mission. And sometimes they have failed to do what they set out to do. What about Jesus? We see him dying on a cross. A lot of people thought that's failure. A lot of people thought there is a wasted life. Wouldn't it have been great if he'd lived to be an old man and taught us lots more? How sad that his life ended so early that he died on a cross. Did he die as a failure? Is it sad that he was crucified instead of living to old age? Well, the Bible tells us no. The Bible tells us that the reason he came into the world was to die on the cross. And that was his mission. And far from having failed in his mission, Jesus has carried it out in every detail. He has not failed at all. He has done everything that he came to do. And the resurrection, the empty tomb, show us that Jesus has done exactly what he said he would do. What did Jesus come to do? How are we to understand the work that he has accomplished? Well, perhaps the best way to understand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is in terms of victory. Because that's how the New Testament describes his work. Far from being a failure, his work was victory. What kind of victory has Jesus won? Well, it is a victory, first of all, over sin. The victory that Christ has won is a victory over sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not, first of all, to be a moral example for us to copy. He is that, but that's not why he came. He didn't come into the world, first of all, to be a great teacher. Though he was a great teacher that we can learn from. But the reason why he came into the world was to die for sins. That was the purpose of his mission. He came to die for the sins of his people. To take their punishment and their guilt and everything that sin involves. And to deal with it once for all. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. That's the very heart of the work that Jesus came to do. He was perfect, he was without any sin, and he was made to be sin for us. He was treated as if he had sinned our sins, as if he had done all the wrong things that we have done. And the punishment we've earned, Jesus took it in our place. And that's what's happening when Jesus died on the cross. He's taking the sins of his people. He's taking our punishment. He is our substitute, taking our place. And that's how Jesus thought of himself. He tells us in Mark 10 that he came to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom. Now we know what a ransom is. It's a payment that's made to release a prisoner, a hostage. The ransom is paid and the prisoner's released. Now we are prisoners of sin. We can't make ourselves good people. We can't get rid of our sins. We're prisoners of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the ransom, paid to God the price for our release. And that's what was happening at the cross. How do we know that the ransom has really been paid? How do we know that it has been accepted? The resurrection. Because Jesus has risen. We know that he has really provided salvation from sin. We know that he's really paid the price for our release. We know now that there is salvation if we trust in the Lord Jesus. The empty tomb proves it to us. We aren't left wondering, well, could Jesus really save me if I trust in him? Maybe he'll not. The empty tomb tells us he's able to save any sinner who comes to him and asks for salvation. It's as simple as that. Salvation is there if we ask for it. And we know he's able to save us because he's risen from the dead. The resurrection gives us the proof we need to show us Jesus is able to save us. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. It doesn't matter how good an example Jesus was. It doesn't matter how great a teacher he was. If he is dead today, we are all still in our sins, and we deserve God's wrath and punishment. We're not saved. And we're deceiving ourselves if we think we are. But Jesus is risen from the dead. And there is salvation for those who trust in him. We can be sure of that. Price of our release, the ransom has been paid. And so there is salvation if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way in Romans 4:25. It says of Jesus, he was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection assures Christians today that we are really righteous in God's sight. We are really justified in God's sight when we trust in the Savior. There need be no doubt about our salvation. The empty tomb confirms Jesus' victory over sin. But that isn't all that it tells us, because it also confirms his victory over Satan. It confirms his victory over Satan. And sometimes, perhaps, we don't really think as much about this as we should, because it is wonderful news. The empty tomb tells us that the devil is a defeated enemy to the Christian. Jesus has conquered him. The first gospel promise is not in the New Testament. It's in the book of Genesis. Genesis 3:15, God gives the first gospel promise. I, he He says to the serpent, to Satan in the Garden of Eden, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And at first we might think, well, where's the gospel in that verse? But it's there. There God says there's going to be a spiritual battle all through history. A battle between those who belong to Satan. And that's where we all start out because we're sinners. A battle between those who belong to Satan and those who trust in the Saviour that God will provide. And that spiritual war goes on all the way down through history. Until finally, God says, there will be the last great battle between two champions, between Satan and one that God gives to be the Saviour, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that battle took place at the cross. And there Satan was defeated. Because Christ has dealt with our sin. And it's sin that gives the devil his claim on us. It's because of our sin that the devil has a hold on us. Jesus has dealt with our sin. And so Satan has no claim on us any longer. If we believe in the Lord Jesus, if we belong to him, then Satan's power over us is broken once and for all. Though we still sin and we still fall, Satan will never be our master again. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan's power over us is broken. So at the cross, Jesus has defeated Satan. The great battle has been won. For the Christian, Satan is a beaten enemy. This is how Jesus described what he was going to do in John chapter 12. He says, as he thinks of the cross and what he's going to do there, he says, now the prince of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. There he says, Satan will be defeated. And the risen Christ will draw people from all the nations, from all the parts of the world, to trust in him as Saviour and Lord. Jesus sets free those who are prisoners of Satan. Isn't that wonderful news today? If you're trusting in Jesus, you've been set free from your sins. You've been set free from the power of Satan. You don't need to listen to his temptations. You don't need to fall to Satan. Jesus has already beaten him. And if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you share in that victory. The resurrection tells us of Jesus' victory over sin. It also tells us of his victory over Satan. The Christian, Satan is a defeated enemy. We do not need to give in to him. We should not give in to him. He's beaten. He's crushed under the feet of Jesus. Why would we listen to him? Why would we have anything to do with him any longer? Victory over sin. Victory over Satan. And victory over death. Victory over death. Death is a fearful thing. Probably most of us, in one way or another, fear death. It's easy, of course, when you're younger not to think about it, but as you get older, the reality of death comes home more and more. We will die. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the prospect of death? Death's an intruder in God's good world. It shouldn't be here. It's because of human sin that death has entered the world. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, death came into God's good creation, and we'll all die. Unless Christ comes back, first of all, every one of us is going to die someday. And that is a frightening thing. It's frightening because we don't know what death will involve. Will it be painful? Will it be long drawn out? We don't know. Those are frightening things. But far more frightening is the fact that on the other side of death, what's waiting for us? What's waiting for you on the other side of death? And the Bible tells us you'll stand before a holy God. And if you die as a sinner, you'll stand before a holy God as a sinner who's guilty, who has no excuse. And that makes death a frightening thing. And we should be frightened of dying as sinners. But there's good news when we think of the empty tomb, because it tells us that Jesus has conquered death. When he died on the cross, he paid the price of our salvation, our release from the burden of sin. And he has also dealt with death. Because of our sins, we're dead spiritually. When our sins are forgiven, spiritual death is dealt with. We've new life. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of eternal life. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2:5. God made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions and sins. That's true of every Christian. If you believe in Jesus today, God has made you alive with Christ. Already you've eternal life. It's not just something that you'll have one day when you're laid in the earth. If you trust in Jesus, you have eternal life today. That's the Lord's promise. Jesus tells us in John 5, if we believe in him, we have eternal life. We've crossed over from death to life. Isn't that glorious? If you trust in Jesus today, you're spiritually alive. You've been raised from death. You're alive with Jesus. But what about our bodies? They're going to die. Just because somebody is a Christian, because somebody's saved, it doesn't mean they're never going to die. One day we will. Christians die just like unbelievers. So why do we say Jesus has won a victory over death? But he has. Because one day the Christian will rise with Christ and we share in his resurrection. Our bodies will be transformed and they'll be like his glorious resurrection body. When Christ comes back from heaven at the last day, all those who trust in him will be raised and will share in resurrection glory. Paul writes in Philippians 2 that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. And that's our Christian hope. Not just that our souls will be with God forever, but our bodies also will be raised and transformed, and we'll be with the Lord, body and soul, for all eternity. That's our hope as Christians. And because Jesus has risen and the tomb was empty, we know he has won the victory over death. And we share in that victory. The resurrection confirms that Jesus has done what he said he would do. His victory over sin, his victory over Satan, his victory over death. And that's why Paul could have such courage in the face of death. 1 Corinthians 15. He challenges death. He challenges the grave. Where is your victory? You don't have it. The victory belongs to Jesus. And it belongs to Christians who are trusting in Jesus. Paul says, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you've repented of your sins and asked him to be Saviour and Lord, you share in his victory. Victory over sin. Your sins are forgiven. Victory over Satan. He's a defeated enemy. You don't need to give in to him anymore. Victory over death. Already, victory over spiritual death. You have eternal life. And one day, victory over physical death. When you rise to share his glory. Then the question has to be today, are you trusting in Christ who died and rose again? I'm not asking, do you know what the Gospels say? I'm not asking, do you think Jesus is a good teacher and a fine example to copy? I'm asking, are you trusting in him as your Saviour? Have you realized you're a sinner who deserves punishment for eternity? Have you realized only Jesus can save you from your sins? And have you trusted in him? Do you share in his victory over sin and over Satan and over death? If you haven't already done so, then I'd urge you even today to put your trust in Jesus who died and rose again. The resurrection that confirms his identity. And the resurrection that confirms that work of salvation, the victory over sin and Satan and death, has given us a hope of glory forevermore.